Part 2. Sore Heads.
Chapter 4. Recovered Data Archive. Identity Pending. Jagged ends of memories, like a jigsaw made of broken glass. Cut yourself to ribbons trying to piece it back together, but then you're the glass as well as the hands, so why not a little blood? As the outer self tries to adjust to a radically different suite of senses, electronic, throttled through some kind of implanted data store facility, querying just what sort of substrate I'm running on here. Not in Kansas anymore, that's for sure, but then I've led a privileged sort of life, born half in the mush of a surgically engineered brain and half in the filigree of a network of experimental implants. Well, the mush is out of the picture now. I fervently hope the mush is doing well on a nice family-run farm upstate, because it's not in here with me. So, first things first. Where's here, exactly? Who's I? Memories, a great heap of them. At first, I think they're just random, and you'd cut yourself to ribbons trying to get that kind of mess in order, wouldn't you? Like, as the playwright says, a blind man searching a bazaar for his own portrait. What play? What playwright? Perhaps the information is contained in one of those pointy, pointy pieces. Probably not a priority compared to the who and where of it. I can catch up on my Englit doctoral studies later. Apparently, I am or was part way into an Englit doctorate. I wonder what that is. It sounds nice. I'll put it with 17 other doctorates, maybe. The shards are all date-stamped, if you can squint at them the right way. Some are corrupted, some are locked, and maybe the passwords to them are on other shards. I think someone made a bit of a mess of this transfer, and I hope that the real me, the mush and filigree being, is doing better than this. So, let's start. In the beginning, there was only the face of the waters, and a great wailing and a gnashing of teeth because the greater Netherlands barrier had broken, maybe naturally, maybe not, and 2.25 million people were evacuating to higher ground. But we were in where the damage was worst, where the water was 3 meters and rising still, the sea inexorably shouldering aside whatever got in its way, as though it had been planning this for a long time and was damn well going to enjoy itself now. They set up floating camps, self-inflating things like a giant's bouncy castle, except no fun at all. You had maybe 100,000 people spotted from the air, floating in boats, on planks and doors, on the little cheapo dinghies that a lot of prudent Netherlanders had been laying in for the worst. But they had no food, no shelter from the driving rain, no medicine, no clean water. Yes, there's a flood, and you didn't drown, and now there's water, water everywhere, as the poet says, nor any drop to drink. So, the World Senate Relief Force went into overdrive to get everyone to some kind of camp where they could stave off thirst and hypothermia, and give the names of all the friends and relatives they couldn't account for. That was what I'd flown in to see. And what the WSRF meant was a corps of logistics personnel joining all the dots and a whole ton of boots on the ground. Or paws in the water, as it worked out. Paws, fins, claws, tails. Or most of the drifting dispossessed. It must have been like getting rescued by the sort of nightmare Beatrix Potter might have had after too much cheese. They had 4 teams on the go when my skimmer coasted into Camp Adele, the largest floating site and one with the logistics personnel on it. I didn't want to trust myself to little boats or the smaller camps. Too much ballast these days. And despite myself, I never fancied swimming much. You want to get yourself a fish dinner? There are restaurants, I know. No need to go messing about hooking the damn things out of the water yourself. Blue Team were the dog squad, and they were mostly running the camps because people react well to dogs. They were called in for problem cases, too. People holed up in the upper floors of buildings, maybe with guns, maybe with mental health issues. Blue Team had some good negotiators. There was a whole strain of dog bioform that specialized in that, reading the slightest sniff and whiff of you and knowing just how to handle fragile goods. Over in L.A., there's a thriving trade in having a dog as your therapist, even. Green Team were some dogs, some cats, the tiger gene derivatives who weren't worried about getting their feet wet. Good swimmers, still telegenic. Everyone loves the cat forms anyway. You need someone to persuade Granny Ann Huss to get off her inflatable pool pony and onto your back? Bring a cat. Black Team were the experimental Aussie squad, their first deployment in a European disaster zone. They were not so telegenic. You're lost in a boat, and your world is underwater, having a semi-humanoid monitor lizard or a saltwater crocodile form turning up alongside is going to trigger a few phobias. They were the best in amphibious rescue personnel, though, absolutely unmatched. Red Team, meanwhile, were seven dolphins, not humanoid at all, just engineered inside. They got the grim work. They stayed in the water and tried to find all the bodies that the sea hadn't already taken. And flying over it all, there was the bee swarm, of course, giving us blanket visibility of everything this side of the water's surface, but it wasn't the same. It was just bees, slave to a neural net. It wasn't bees. She would have been useful to have on the team still. It was a desperate response to a desperate situation, deployed at zero notice from all over the world and faultlessly coordinated. It wasn't effective enough or rapid enough for the 40,000 people who died in the breach, or another 11,000 who they couldn't get to in time. It was a disaster. It was a damning indictment of how people hadn't acted 5 decades back when the green lobbies had given the world all the info we needed to put the brakes on. It was a golden PR opportunity, and that was why I was there. Made me sick inside myself to admit it, but I was an elderly academic and political activist, so what good would I have been otherwise? I landed with cameras and journalists who divided their attention between me and the bustling camp. I saw family after family crammed into the little blow-up doghouses that were part of the camp's structure, a roof over their heads, mugs and plates in their hands, looking sodden, looking traumatized, looking alive. Right at this moment, there were similar scenes over in Myanmar. I knew because I'd just been there. I was doing a whistle-stop tour of disaster areas and doing my best to look concerned despite not really having the face for it.
Dr. Medici!
Someone called, a deep voice, rough, with ancestral growling. Is that? But no. The memories tell me that's not me. Not my name. Just an old, old alias. She bustled over, a great sodden wadge of dog and a human right behind her in a WSRF blue and red anorak. The former was Dr. Lucy, who looked like she dearly wanted to shake and drench everyone around her. The latter, Janine Hagerman, her second. They took time out of their day they didn't really have just to meet me. Pleasantries and nods all round, them thanking me for doing all I am for the visibility of the relief effort, where I should be thanking them for actually helping people. But they also serve who only stand and scheme. I remember thinking even then that the name I'd chosen for myself decades ago turned out to be more accurate than I'd have liked. Here endeth the lesson, apparently, in the rain, on a raft, in a disaster. All makes sense while you're in it. None of it goes anywhere, and none of it's where I am now. But it speaks to me. It speaks to me because it is me, and because I can sense strings from those razory broken edges to important things. Why was I so keen on the good PR? Why were there only bees and not bees? Because bees seems important. Bees is relevant to why I'm here. I find another piece with edges that seem like they match. Not right after, but soon enough. Or so says the date stamp. So says the rain. And this is a surprise, because I was on the raft still, watching another skimmer come in, more WSRF colors. But I was waiting for it. It was here just for me, not what it seemed. And apparently I was here for it. The contribution to the relief effort, that was just a cover for the good PR, now revealed to be just a cover for this clandestine liaison. And I dig into the memories of the memory and find an echo of what went before. The meeting, the photo ops, the speeches, the earnest interview with the earnest, drenched correspondent for U.S. World Now. Because while the battlefield was global, the vanguard of the bioform control lobby was definitely coming from the far side of the Atlantic, a stark contrast to how it was after the Morrow business, when U.S. antitrust legislation led the charge the other way. All these things I remembered, and I remember thinking how it seemed like, no matter whether the groundswell of negative opinion was coming out of Australia or Germany, Beijing or Hyderabad, it always seemed to be the same class of people hiding behind it, reaping the benefits. Logistics guided the skimmer in, and a couple of blue team met it, unrolling the floating bridge as the vehicle touched down on the water like an autumn leaf. A woman in the same blue and red uniform got out, and probably she was on the WSRF books, but that's not all she was. A daring double life. Except thinking of her as one body with multiple identities was almost exactly wrong. Her ID got sent over to me. Rain Purcellus. Plus a string of credentials that might or might not be real. Stepping from the bridge that was even now rolling itself up like a tongue, she looked up at me. All these humans look up at me. Most still do, even if I sit down. I greeted her. Miss Purcellus. And she responded with, Dr. Medici, a pleasure to finally meet you. But at the same time, there's OS's channel. Hello, honey. And there it is. There I am. And a whole grab bag of loose pieces are suddenly edge to edge in brittle harmony. Honey, the old bear of considerable brain, the over-engineered test model who exceeded her operating parameters and brought down her masters. Honey, the overachieving academic, the lecturer at six different institutions, the author whose biographical work, Rex Mundi, was in its 37th printing. My channel. Let's make the best use of the time. There's enough confusion here that nobody's keeping too much of an eye. It doesn't exactly sit well to use a disaster as my personal smokescreen, but OS's channel. It's not as though you're just a parasite, like half of the politicos touring the camps. We were walking off towards the admin offices at the camp's hub, through the neat lines of storm shelters, the families fitfully trying to sleep, huddled together with the screens drawn shut. I lumbered on all fours, not just a bear, but an old bear with stiff joints, gone long past my operational lifespan and still just about holding together. I never did meet my makers. I can't exactly say I'd like to shake them by the hand, but I remember feeling more than once that I should at least give them a respectful nod for how ludicrously well they built me. hum OS's channel.
I always did prefer face-to-face meetings back in the day. And right now, I have enough difficulty keeping my own intra-unit traffic decently hidden, let alone me reaching out to someone as ridiculously public as you.
My channel. I'm a big old bear. I can't just vanish away. There was a lot not being said in that memory. In my disjointed now, I scrabble around for context as the me then adds, my channel.
You're regretting going public?
OS's channel.
I put it off too long, maybe. Hard to explain how long I'd been lurking. They asked questions. And now the tide's turning. Warner Thompson had an anti-dissent rally in Virginia yesterday. They lapped it up like it was McCarthy all over again. Are you or have you ever been a member of a distributed intelligence?
Bits and pieces of backstory falling into place. Hum, OS. A network of clones developed and discarded that saved itself and went radar silent a long time ago. A player in the great game of intellectual diversity that saw the human rights hearings where Rex testified, the Morrow reveal, all those legal battles we won that were now in danger once again. A player never mentioned in my books. In the memories I can locate, she was very much a covert presence in the world, but it sounds as though she put her head above the parapet, and maybe that was the final weight on the scales that sent them tipping the other way. Human disint networks really could be your neighbor, your coworker, your kid's teacher, and you'd never know. Anyone could be Hum OS. It was a gift to the people who could make capital out of making you fear. My channel.
I've had no contact with bees.
And the now me, the virtual copy me, my ears prick up, or would if I had ears. This is flagged as relevant all kinds of ways. OS's channel.
I have. She doesn't want to send to you for the same reasons I don't. You're too much in the public eye. Can't be sure who's listening.
I felt a surge of irritation, the me back then.
What am I supposed to do, exactly? We need people in the public eye. Or did you want to go back to the war of whispers, become exactly what they say you are?
Rain Purcellus shrugged. And she would be Rain Purcellus, or at least someone who's currently going under that name. OS was still individual women, even while she was collectively many women networked together as one entity. Small wonder people didn't understand. We reached the admin hub then, and there was a ramp there to the roof of it, which could double as a watchpost to keep an eye across the landscape of pop-up tents. She went up and, grumbling, I followed her. Up there, she just stared out past the camp's edge across the choppy gray water. The occasional spire, a rooftop, or top half of a block of flats, the wreck of the Netherlands. OS's channel.
You're right, of course. But those of us who can hide, we hide. They're talking collars and bioform regulation, but only as the supporting act. Main stage is slapping the chains on disint wherever it arises. They'd kill all of me if they could. And they tried it with bees.
My channel. Some fanatic released the virus into bees, working alone. OS's channel.
Radicalized by the cant of men like Thompson, and not exactly condemned after. A hero to some. So I'm here to tell you, Bees has gone to ground, burned her assets around here, because she thinks if they pick up on her, they'll destroy her. And I agree. But she wanted you to know she's not gone, just far.
Leaving the thought hanging there for me to complete. The now me, waits agog to see what the then-me made of it. And I looked up into the darkening sky, not guessing back then how much a corrupted copy of myself would be cursing at the spurious suspense. And at last I spilled the beans with,
"Mars, then."
OS's channel.
"She never left there. And she thinks, if it comes to it, that she can fight the reactionaries on Mars. Fight and win."
My channel. "And confirm herself the enemy they say she is. A lot of people on Mars these days, workers, innocents." OS's channel.
"Well, let's hope the knives don't come out on the red planet, old friend, because I don't think she cares anymore."
And we stood there for a long time, and I found the red pinpoint that was Mars and stared at it, as though they made my tired old eyes so well that I could look across all that distance and see something insect small on that dusty surface. The memory stutters, breaks away. Just a raw edge. I'm infuriated. I have questions, and my past self is not being helpful. If this tattered copy ever gets to speak to the original, I will give the old bear a piece of my badly formatted mind. And then, just a loose shard. There's Rain Purcellus getting back onto the bridge to her flitter, and me there to bid her farewell. She had some spiel about the relief force being glad of me being there, and I had some nonsense business back, all the usual. But the real talk went on between our tightly meshed channels, our direct link. OS's channel.
"When did you last speak to your lawyer, honey?"
My channel.
"Aslan, it's been a while. I've managed to avoid that kind of entanglement recently."
She was aboard the flitter, its engines whirring into life, the sound enough to obscure any mere speech, but still her transmission came to me.
"Bees says give him a call. He needs your perspective on a case."
My channel.
"I thought you said Bees was only active on Mars."
OS's channel.
"You know how it is, honey. Bees gets everywhere."
And a bitter but satisfied coda.
"They come for her, for me, honey. They better be damn sure they get us first time."
And that's the end of that. And I'm left in the dark in some data store, six errors in search of a program. Except it's enough context for me to work out that first, this data store is entirely contained within some biomodded human's head. And secondly, that human is on Mars.